Hello and welcome to Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with Ender's Logic, Flopsy, and your host, Robert Digital. Now turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
So I guess this is going to be our Halloween episode.
Yeah.
Fuck, we don't do shit for special events.
Yeah. We did last year, but not this year. But we've got an interview coming up at the end of this episode with a developer from Working Man who worked on the game Death State that Amelia has been playing. So stay tuned for that. It's going to be good.
I played some.
Yeah. Fun little game. We talked to the developer. Really good convo there. So stay tuned for that. And we're going to play Question the News now, which we've been starting off the most recent episodes with.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let us know some feedback on Question the News. We all enjoy it here. That's why we keep doing it. We think it gets the juices flowing.
Yeah.
We're talking.
And if you don't know what that is, basically we take a news article and we create a question slightly pertaining to that news article. So to kick things off...
I guess I'll start off.
Okay.
It's really two news articles. The first one was League of Legends. But Hearthstone nerfed one of their cards that was crucial in a warrior aggressive deck. A Warsong commander who used to be able to say anybody with a power 2 or less, 3 or less, anything with a power 3 or less gains charge. And you could combo that in and drop up 5 different guys and then attack all in the first same turn. They nerfed that. But that's coming right up to their Hearthstone championships that are coming up. Just a couple weeks away. And then also, League of Legends is doing their world tournaments. They found a bug with Gragas, who is a character that's been played a ton in the jungle or support, mostly jungle. So they actually removed Gragas and 2 other characters with the same bug from gameplay. So my question is, do you think this is appropriate? You go into a tournament, you prepare for a tournament, and then the developer just changes things up mid-tournament or right before the tournament. Do you think it's appropriate, or do you think that's unfair and they should just leave it in and whatever you get is whatever you get?
I mean, if you make a game, your job is to make that game fair. Doesn't matter when or where you have to implement that. If there's something broken, you need to fix it. And that's your job. Doesn't matter if there's a tournament going on or not. And probably even more important before a tournament.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but that's all like pipe dream. Yeah. Like you should do that, but that's not, it's never going to always happen. There's always bugs. There's always things that come up. There's always plays. Personally, I think you should leave it in unless it is completely game-breaking. For the issue of Gragas, he gets stuck and one of his abilities can no longer be used. So it's actually a penalty if the bug happens. I don't see any problem. If you're going to play Gragas and you're going to take the risk, then go for it. Take the risk. Mm-hmm. Like the Hearthstone one is a little bit more... I'm more interested in because whenever I was playing Play, I would see this warrior deck... 80% of the time. Like that's all people would play,
right?
And so I was happy, and also they did it a couple weeks the tournament.
What made you happy about
because
it?
I didn't play that deck. I hated that deck.
Right.
That deck was terrible to play against, so I'm glad they nerfed that deck.
Gotcha. Okay.
And they also did it a couple weeks before the tournament, so I'm a-okay with the Hearthstone, but I am not in favor of the League of Legends. Bobby?
Now, let me get one thing clear. Gragas, was he the guy with the barrels in League of Legends?
Yep.
That is the only character in League that I have actually purchased. Not with real money, but with Riot coins or whatever they're...
yeah, dealers. I forget what they're
I
called.
Didn't play much League.
Space Bucks.
Yeah, Space Bucks. Best currency ever. But that was the only character that I ever actually purchased because he looked like kind of the type of hero that I would play. But yeah, I can see why they would do this. You got to understand when you're doing these tournaments and stuff, you got to keep the audience in mind too. I don't know how good of a show you're going to put on if one of the characters just breaks in the middle of the game.
Or if the same deck's winning over and over and over. Yeah. Same thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Entertainment-wise, it's not good either.
So I think you got to take the audience into consideration. But yeah, it's up to them to make sure that the game is fair and balanced. And that gives you the best show and that gives you the best game. So I think I support both these decisions here.
I think Smite does it pretty well, where you can't play the most recently created character because it tends to be the most recent stuff is the stuff that has issues or
yeah, they've got to iron out the details. Yeah. They don't know if it's overpowered or if there's any issues with it. And I think Smite is the only game that does that. They don't do that in Dota 2. They don't do that in League of Legends.
Yeah, in Dota 2, didn't they?
Yeah, they had released a character like
during the tournament, right? Or like the first day or something?
Yeah, something like that.
That's kind of fun. Like it's a big mix, but
yeah, it's a wild card. You don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like, for example, if Gragas could suddenly do 2 million points of damage to everybody on the screen and it just breaks the game, then of course you got to make changes.
Well, here's the other side of that too. You know, you really see how good a player is if they can adapt to the type of game. You know, if they make a change like this, everybody has to adapt. It's not different for anyone else. It's not giving anyone specific advantages. You know, if they really are, tournament worthy, then they're going to adapt, they're going to change, and they're going to do well regardless.
Yeah. Right. Gragas was actually picked, I saw a stat, in 29 out of the 32 games. So this removing of Gragas was just a huge thing. And the reason was because they've got three or four characters that most people think are broken in one.
Right, and Gragas is one.
And so, no, those three end up getting banned during the banning stage. And then who's left is Gragas. So Gragas just ends up getting picked a lot.
Yeah. Mm. And picks and bans are such a big part of MOBA games that this could really mess with teams' lineups and plans.
Yeah, for sure.
So they're doing those League of Legends tournaments. I think yesterday or early this morning they were doing the semifinals, and then the finals are going to be on Halloween at 5 a.m. Pacific Standard. So I don't know if I'm going to watch that live.
Because that's they're doing it in France this year. What?
It's in France?
Yeah.
Okay.
Are they going to be uploaded to anywhere? I mean, are we going to be able to watch the
video? I think they're on YouTube.
They'll be on
Twitch.
Because some don't.
So League of Legends is actually pretty good. They do Twitch live, and then they do a Twitch replay in the afternoon for the American audiences.
Cool.
And then within 12 hours, they're also up on VODs on YouTube. So
nice.
Like you could right now log on and probably watch everything except anything that's happened this morning.
Yeah, I think League. I know it's in France. I think it's bigger globally than it is in the United States.
It's big here
for sure. But I feel like
we just don't tend to have a lot of friends that play it. But it, like at work and
it's probably because we're so old,
a lot of high schoolers. I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think the graphics appeal to both young and
graphics are shit.
It's very cartoony.
They're terrible.
Know. It looks like a web game.
Yeah,
I think.
Don't they use Flash or? I know I've had to update like Shockwave something like that too.
Update your Adobe 2.0.
Updated the graphics since you guys have played.
I don't think it uses that, but I think the loading screen, like there's an issue that
it's
I
got
have.
Like Bink or something.
Yeah.
I see Bink. A lot of
they still use Bink.
Yeah, Bink is big.
I would rather play League of Legends graphics than Dota 2 graphics, as embarrassing as that is to sound, because a lot of Dota 2 looks awesome. But I want to see what is going on. I want to see the animations. I want to see what effects are going off. And it's so much easier for me to do it on League of Legends with that cartoony graphics.
Because
everything's bold. Like, actions are bold.
Yeah, everything's dark.
Yeah, Dota 2 is dark and monochromatic that it's sometimes can be difficult.
Yeah.
What other questions we got?
Go ahead, Bob.
All right, I'll go next. Payday 2, we talked last week about how people were really upset about the microtransactions they put in the game, even when they said they wouldn't, and they repealed that a little bit. What they did, the problem was that they put in these cases that could drop, and you would have to buy keys for $250.
Drills, right?
Yeah, drills for $250 to unlock them, and it's basically TF2, Counter-Strike. But these were not just skins. These were skins that you could get stat upgrades on. So people were upset about that. So is it Starbreeze or Overkill? I can never really Yeah, I think it's like both.
I think Overkill.
Overkill.
The developer.
They did too.
One's like a subsidiary of the other or something like that. Yeah. I'm not too sure. But they said, okay, you can also get drills as a drop. So you don't have to spend money. If you get a case, you can just wait till a drill drops and then you can open that case and get the loot that way. So my question is, does this make up for them making the decision in the first place?
I think it's a happy medium. I was kind of thinking this, like, if TF2 had key drops, what would happen there?
Do the one on Steam.
If it had key drops, then I think it would drive the prices down a little bit, but everything would pretty much remain the same. I thought it would be a little more excited. Like if I get a crate, I'm not that excited. If I got a key, I'd be super excited, but maybe that's because you have to buy them, right?
Yeah.
So,
well, I wonder if
especially these drills, if they're like 99 cents or $2.50 or
yeah. $2.50.
Well, I wonder if these drills are going to be tradable, if you can sell them in the Steam market or if you can trade them to friends. There might be an answer to that. I don't know yet, but we'll wait and see.
If they're dropping, you'd have to imagine that they'd be tradable, but
I don't think there's any other things that are tradable in Payday 2, though. Like, if you look in your Steam inventory, no Payday 2 items show up.
Oh, yeah, you're right. So maybe they aren't doing it similar to TF2.
Yeah.
So it is Overkill.
Yeah. In general, I think that company, the developers of that game, have been pretty close to the community and kind of tailored the game to their expectations. So I'm not surprised that they addressed this, and so quickly, too. I'm actually pretty happy about this.
I'm a little surprised that when they announced this, they didn't just straight up mention, hey, I know we said we didn't do this, but we're going to do it anyway. You know, like, if there's, like, they had to have seen this coming, right?
Yeah.
I guess, I feel it's a little unfair that I think they're getting picked on, honestly, because everybody else is doing it. They want to be with the cool kids.
I know, but not everybody else says we're not going to do I mean, a lot of them do. But
did they flat out say that?
Yeah. They later. Said they will never have microtransactions.
Then yeah, they should have definitely. Should have been they should have announced.
This reminds me of like a politician that says, I'm not a liar, and then he gets caught in a lie, and then he tries to say, that's not what exactly I meant.
Right.
You know, like, you just own up to it. Yeah, I meant, I said it, but I didn't mean it.
They should have been honest. Like, the honesty would have been, we want to stay relevant, and the way to do that is to add value.
Yeah. Well, I think making this change is kind of them owning up to that mistake.
It's true.
So,
it's true.
I don't know. I'm perfectly satisfied
with this. I wasn't upset with the last one because I don't believe developers when they say we won't
that's
the landscape changes. Like,
I know,
of course they said it, meant it at the time, but the landscape changes.
I think that's a little unfair to people for people to hold them to that expectations. As fucked up as that sounds, I think that's true. I mean, you know, you got to be realistic about things.
True. So I'm okay with this.
Yeah,
me too. I think they did a good job here.
But none of this is making us play Payday 2 again, though, right?
Not because Vermintide's out. That's why. that's the biggest problem with Payday 2 is that there's Vermintide.
Which we'll get into later.
Yeah. So a company in the UK came out with Fallout beer.
Is this officially sanctioned?
I hope so. I don't know. I think so. Because, I mean, they're using the logo and all that stuff. And
they haven't got like a cease and desist yet.
Right. I mean, if they got this far, I'm sure there's something to it.
I'm sure they love it for the promotion.
Yeah, for sure. It's free promotion. And look, we're talking about it even more.
I'm going to guess it's a double IPA.
I didn't read what kind of beer it is, but it's only 4%, which I thought was kind of weak sauce.
So it's like a wine cooler?
Yeah.
yeah, pretty much.
That's the opposite of Fallout. Like,
so it's funny that, it should be super hardcore, right?
Yeah.
Like, it should be fucking toxic, almost nuclear.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Like 17%.
Radioactive.
Yeah, radioactive. The bottles are green, which I thought was a cool touch. So, let's see. Do you guys see?
What's your question related to this?
Oh, okay. So, it's an unconventional add-on to the game, right?
It's a Pilsner.
It's a Pilsner?
Okay, ABV Pilsner.
So, that would be kind of like what we drink here in the United States, right?
That's like a Budweiser.
Budweiser and
Miller,
stuff. Yeah,
that's Pilsners. All Pilsners.
So boo, should have been a craft beer, but
yeah,
I'm, you know, whatever, this is kind of like a throwaway thing, but is there any other unconventional add-ons you would like to see to one of your favorite games?
Like products?
Like products, yeah, yeah.
Related to it?
Yeah. I would love to see a video game energy drink. I don't
know. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be great.
Well, how's they kind of did that.
Oh my God, we're going to be rich.
No, they kind of did that.
Cut the recording. Dude, Super Mario Brother mushroom drink. Like it gets you big. Gets
wait,
you
wait, big. What's the one that had the highest legal, it was either in a cartoon or a show or something. They would drink this drink that had the highest level of caffeine that you could possibly do. Oh,
like Redline? Like an old one? Redline's a newer one. Like Jolt or Surge was a soda.
I forget. But some listeners got a message
do
me.
Do you guys know about that thing from the thing where they talked about that thing?
That should be one of our games that we play.
From The Simpsons, actually, now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, but if it was from The Simpsons, I would have remembered it.
That
should be a game authority. That we play where we try to we be as vague as possible describing something and see if someone can guess what it is.
Like the opposite of 20 questions? Like you try to be as the least descriptive as possible?
Yeah, it's like Daniel Tosh, he says that his joke style is to start with the general audience and then get down to just one person knowing what he's talking about in the audience.
His jokes get so specific.
Yeah, so specific.
He keeps running with it.
He gets to the point where he's like, yeah, I'm sorry your cousin died on the jet ski. I know you're supposed to turn. It's counterintuitive, I know.
They did do mana and health potions, which I thought was really cool. Have you ever seen those?
No.
They look like the vials, you know, with the fat bottom and the
See, I feel like anything that they do like that is going to be overpriced just for the novelty of it. So I would just like to go into 7-Eleven and see something on the shelf, you know, like a Stimpak energy drink from Deus Ex or something.
Yeah, any of those like ones would be cool.
The problem is it would probably taste terrible.
Yeah, because it's got to be like bright green and glowing and shit.
Yeah,
yeah, I could totally see that like a some sort of med kit. Like, I know med kits are real things, but modeled after one in a game. Like, it could almost be like, because right now, a kid probably doesn't know where the med kit in his house is, right?
But
if you made it an interesting thing, maybe he'd be more into, like, app to go get it during a real emergency.
I got a story about that. So, at work, they took all our, you know, they used to have, like, the little med kits that are up on the wall that have, like, antiseptic and all that stuff. They ripped those out. And they put in these bookshelf-sized things that are bright orange, but have the big plus sign on them. They look exactly like a video game. They actually are plugged. They have to be plugged in.
Is that
in.
What they were going for?
I don't know. These are like just, but they are bright orange. They literally look like you could have played a first-person shooter or TF2. Like you're supposed to run up there to regain your health.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that's exactly what these things look like.
The Half-Life 2 things where you recharge your health bar. Yeah, yeah.
That's what it looks
crazy,
like.
Crazy. Weird. Have you opened one?
Yeah. It's crazy inside.
Whoa.
Like I like literally gained 50 health when you open that thing.
Cool.
So that's question of the news?
Yeah. I think we're done there.
So let's jump into the big stories.
All right.
Sure.
Who do you want to? Which one do you want to tackle first?
Let's start out with Death State. We've got that interview coming up at the end of the podcast, but we want to talk about the game itself. And Emilio, you've been playing a lot of that.
Yeah. It's basically...
This is from Working Man.
This is from Working Man. You know, they make a lot of games for people.
SpongeBob.
Nickelodeon. Yeah, they work for Nickelodeon. They work for mobile. Somebody needs a game. They make little small games. So this is kind of their passion project kind of thing. It came out of a game jam because they knew they had a couple weeks open. That's all in the interview. I'm just going to do a quick review because we talk about it a lot later on. It's fun. It's very short. So I thought it was a little overpriced for what it is, but it looks great.
Except for
there is an overlay that is kind of weird. People are complaining about it that it's kind of like a filter, but in Binding of Isaac, which it's very much like, it's roguelite, one stick shooter.
Which I'd never heard that expression before.
Yeah, yeah. It came off because they initially, it's all in the interview, but, what was I going to say? Oh, you could take, in Binding of Isaac, you can turn off the filter. This one you really can't, but it's kind of like an integral part of the game.
Yeah. Well, in Binding of Isaac, the filter is just a stylistic choice, really. In this game, it's more integral to the game. It's actually like a mechanic in the game, which, you know, I understand people complaining about it. And if it's a visibility problem, yeah. then yeah, sure. But, you know, when you play Battlefield 4 and someone shoots at you, you can get suppressing fire where your vision is all shaky and you can't aim straight. And, you know, that stuff is intended to make things more difficult on you as the player. And I think that's kind of the same thing here. I mean, there's a purpose to this filter.
Yeah. The reason I brought that up is because unlike Battlefield, it's just on constantly. Like, it's on there all the time. There's no way to get rid of it. However, if you go into your inventory, it, like, clears it up. And for a couple seconds, you get a bright, clean screen with all their graphics popping. And it looks really good. And I'm just like, the overlay, although it is a stylistic choice, their game looks really bright and vibrant without the overlay. And I just kind of wish the game would be like that. If I get hurt... And you want to punish me by doing an overlay? I definitely can understand that. But I want to see your game. You know, like, I want to see the graphics that you guys created. And this overlay sometimes impacts that.
Yeah. But this game in particular, it's an integral part of the game. We get into it in the interview again. But I did have a lot of fun with this. I downloaded Vermintide. I mean, it sucked me right in. You know, I'm a Binding of Isaac nut. And this is the perfect game to get you to Afterbirth, which is coming out later on, because it's nice and short, same style gameplay, has some cool, fun mechanics in it. The 8-bit graphics are really cool.
They're really good.
And I think the replayability comes in two things. You can up the difficulty. There's these skulls you can crush and up the difficulty per level. And then there's a lot of characters, and the characters are pretty well thought out and very different. So you can play them and have fun with those. So that'll add to the replayability. Plus, they have there's a secret level, and they have some more stuff planned to come out later.
I like this. I played it off yours.
And mind you, Chad doesn't like much.
I meant to just play a couple games to get the feel for it, because we were gonna have an interview and I wanted to be up to date on what the game is. I ended up playing for over 2 hours.
Yeah, it sucks you right in.
Just because it's one of those games like, damn it, I shouldn't have died here. Like, my setup was good. I want to go back and make it here. And I still haven't beat the game. And Amelia has beat the game. So I was kind of like, God, I got to beat the game just to prove that I can. I still haven't done it yet. The other thing is...
When you get hit, I brought it up. When you get hit in this game, you feel so dumb. Because all you have to do is dodge. That's your only job. Yeah.
You're not aiming. Just literally
so
dodging.
A lot of people may not know what a one-stick shooter is, but basically that means you are constantly firing. All you have to do is get close to the enemy and you'll shoot at them. So the focus is really on mobility, moving around. There's a dodge. The right analog stick is... make you dash and dodge.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a huge focus on mobility, and you'd think it'd be easier.
It ramps up difficulty hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then having different characters adds a little bit of it adds more like modes, different things.
And the loot pinata is really cool. Like, I felt like they were giving you stuff, but not too much stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, you really had to search the map to get upgrades, and I felt like you really
But there's
wanted
a timer on the map.
But there's a timer on the map too. It's a trade off.
Risk versus reward.
And I was like, what happens if you just ignore the timer?
Yeah.
And then the screen just eats you up.
It eats you up, yeah. You can run from it, which is cool. It's kind of like lava is filling the screen. It's not lava, but it'll kill you.
Yeah, but that's one of the things that I thought might be an improvement. Like, you don't really have to search the map for the exit, because you know the exit's at the top. You know? Because they're...
No, not always.
The lava mechanics always goes up.
Right. But it's not always at the top.
Every time I played, it was at the top.
I don't think it's ever at the bottom, but I've seen it in the middle. And yeah, you're right, though. Maybe the bad stuff can come from the different angles.
Yeah. But I like the one stick aspect more than...
I said it was perfect for Chad because you don't have to aim.
Yeah. But it... I don't want you to think it's easy, because it definitely had challenges. And then you can ramp up the challenges with the skulls also. So I think there is replay. And how much is it right now? You said it was a little pricey for what?
$13.95, I think, on sale. Hopefully they go through Halloween on that. So I'm not sure. Baby, can you bring up Vermintide? Bring up their page. Actually, maybe their website.
That's what he calls Bobby when you guys aren't around.
Oh, yeah. My girl's doing the... Google searching today, so
yeah.
So that was Death State.
Bobby, any interest in playing it?
Yeah, I mean, I think we still have Steam family sharing setup. So yeah, I'd probably check that out.
Yeah.
I do like, I like Full Mojo Rampage a lot more than everyone else here. And I continued to play that long after you guys stopped. Oh,
Full Mojo Rampage.
Every now and then I do get into a game like that. And
yeah. Yeah, no, this was fun.
Yeah. But I'll tell you what I got hooked on last night, actually. I picked up Vermintide and
Warhammer.
Yeah, Warhammer End Times Vermintide.
Yeah.
A lot of people have been talking about this game, and I can say now after playing a lot of it that I fully recommend this game, fully endorse it. I really like it. A lot of people are saying, yeah, it's like a Left 4 Dead clone, except Melee, or, you know, it's kind of like Payday 2 in ways. And yeah, it sure, it borrows a lot from a lot, other games, but it does a lot right, and it does it so well that you can't help but like it. One thing that I really want to point out about this is that I changed...
Chad, we got to bring it up. Chad stumbled out of the room. It looked like he had to take a shit. I wasn't sure what he had to do, and he comes out and he's
applying
in his pit,
applying deodorant.
I was trying to be nice for you guys because I realized I hadn't put on deodorant today, and we're sitting right next to each other in a very hot apartment.
For the first time ever, I hadn't caught a whiff of you. And it's ironic that this is the time that you choose that.
All right, what are we talking about?
Talking about Vermintide, and specifically the graphics.
The graphics looked really good.
The graphics are great, but you know what? I've seen so many screenshots and so many YouTube videos of this, and I've seen what it looks like, but I have just come to distrust those sources until I actually sit down and play the game. And there's a lot more. I realized with this that there's a lot more that goes into graphics rather than just how something looks, especially in a screenshot that just captures a moment. You can't tell what the graphics look like. This game, because there's a lot of melee combat, the physics, I think it's the physics in this game. I don't know if I'm using the right word here, but when you hit somebody, it really feels like you're hitting somebody. You know, there's a real tactile feel to this world, and I like that. And it just, you know, it's like the fluidity, the movement of the characters, like all that stuff comes into play, and you can't really get that in a screenshot or even a YouTube video that's been like that's a compressed video. So when I actually sat down and got into a level, I was like, yeah, this does look really good, and this feels good. So I was very impressed with the graphics. The gameplay, yeah, they borrow a ton from Left 4 Dead. I mean, there's special vermin that will incapacitate you, and other players have to rescue you. You basically have to stay as a group. You know, a lot of people are learning the game. It just came out recently. So there's so many people that just run out off their own. They get caught out, and there's a lot of learning happening right now, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So it makes things a little difficult. But if you stay as a group... It's
so similar to Left 4 Dead.
Yeah, very similar. Although Left 4 Dead, you shoot your shotgun and you blow away 10 zombies. They just go flying in all different parts.
Oh,
this
gotcha.
Game, you have to chew through these rats, man. It is, I don't know. I've been playing the dwarf, who's kind of like a low damage, tanky melee class, and it is just like a grind. When a horde of these guys come out, you can throw like a flame grenade and clear some of them, but you really have to block, attack, you know, block, like always be on your guard. Because it's challenging.
And I was playing the archer, and one arrow does not kill the most basic rat. And I was like, whoa.
Yeah, you really got to land those headshots. And the headshots are hard to land, too.
Oh, so there is locational damage?
Yeah.
Because I could have sworn I hit 3 headshots, and they kept running at me. But
So does this have pistols at all? Because I know there are pistols in the Warhammer universe.
Yeah, the warrior class.
This is not Warhammer 40K, by the way, guys. This is Warhammer, the elves and dwarves.
I have no idea what that whole world is like, the Warhammer world. I have no idea if any of this is canon or if it follows the rules of the world. But
well, they're using it, so I'm assuming what's...
Yeah, this is part of the story.
White Dwarf? Who does Warhammer? Is it White Dwarf?
No, it's Workshop. Game Workshop.
Game Workshop, right? That's right.
Okay.
The thing about... I'm pretty sure this is in the canon. This is... End Times is when in the canon it happens, or when in the story. And after the End Times, after the Cataclysm, the rats rise up because everything's in... You know, they come out when everything's gone.
And we're not talking about rats. These are like ratkins.
Mm-hmm. Rat right. People. Yeah, these are like humanoid rats.
Yeah.
They're... big and gnarly. So you got your basic ones like a spitter rip off from Left 4 Dead. You've got the hunter ripoff. They did some new ones though. They've got one that comes out with like a minigun, and they call this the rattling gun. Yeah. thing.
But, no, that's good. I like that. I knew you would. I'm not usually a fan of the puns, but the rattling gun. Yeah, it's the quality.
And they got one that's basically a tank.
Website.
But they also have a crafting system in this too. When you beat levels, and there's a high risk, high reward, which I like. So if you play on a high difficulty, you get better drops at the end of it. And you get items that can upgrade certain characters, and you can salvage those, turn them into gems to upgrade other parts, or you can combine them to make a better weapon. So they got a crafting system, which I think will add to the longevity of the game. It'll keep you playing after a while. And a progression system. You can level up, although there's no stat boost when you level. The only thing that I think leveling up does is unlock gear slots, and I think you get drops when you hit a new level. So you just get a random drop.
So if I'm understanding this correctly, this is set up similar to how Dungeon Defenders 2 was. A lot of other games, but that's the only one I can think of
right
now.
Well, Dungeon Defenders 2, you're defending.
No, but
they're coming
at you. I don't mean the actual gameplay. I mean the structure of the game, meaning you're in some hub and you go on a mission, right? And then after the mission, you come back. So this isn't set up like a MOBA where your gameplay experience is you going through the game, right? You going through the level. Mm-hmm. Your gameplay experience is you as a character going through a bunch of these levels and progressing as you're leveling up through a bunch of these, right?
Together with friends.
Yeah, there are five levels, and once you beat those five levels on normal, four more unlock. And I don't know if there's any more after that. There's five difficulty levels. You know, there's two more after normal.
Okay.
So there's plenty to play here. And this is the kind of game, I was talking to someone about Killing Floor 2 the other day, and I was like, you know, that game is, you do the same thing over and over again, but yet it's still so much fun. And I think that's just because of the challenge. And this is a game, as many times as I've played this game, I've probably beaten the map maybe 60, 70% of the time. There's been a lot of failures in there. Wow. And it's always because of, you know, unexperienced players going out on their own or underleveled people.
Everybody but you.
Basically. Yeah. Pretty much everyone else's fault.
scroll down, Sam. I want to see who makes this.
Or, you know, sometimes you just get bad luck because, like Left 4 Dead 2, you know, sometimes that tank comes out at the wrong time. There's a part where you go up on the roofs and you're walking over these ladders in these very precarious situations, and you can hear that rumble in the background, and you know that giant rat is coming out, and we all knew we were screwed at that point. There is no surviving that situation. So sometimes you just get bad luck. But yeah, this is by Fat Shark, who did War of the Roses, which I really liked too.
Oh, gotcha. Mm.
That's why they know how to do melee combat in first person.
Yeah, very experienced in melee combat.
Just a quick comment from myself. You talked at the beginning how it pulls a lot from other games, and it does. Like, this is
but the best parts.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, if you take the good parts and you do them well, I am A-okay you guys taking ideas from other games. Sure. Like, I don't want you to have to recreate the wheel every time you make a game. Mm-hmm. I want you to take the best parts of a car or whatever it is and improve on the ones that were still weak or make the good ones even better.
And we've said
this
before,
game seems like it's doing that.
Yeah,
right?
It definitely did that. And we've said before, like, how come no one has done a Left 4 Dead 2 clone? I mean, that was such a success.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, financially and critically.
We always say, this has been beat to death. This one was wide open.
Yeah,
so glad people jumped on that. But also, we do love when people reinvent the wheel too, come out with something completely off the wall.
Yeah.
And that's cool too.
Well, there's room for both.
Yeah, for sure.
Same with Death State that we were talking earlier. Like,
yeah.
It's very similar to Binding of Isaac, but it takes good things and improves on them. And that genre is still available. Like, we haven't beat that one to death at all.
No, not at all. And they were different enough that they are their own game for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, 100%. They also did mention that there was going to be no microtransactions, similar to what we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts?
Never until we want to.
Yeah. But they also did say they will have free and paid for DLC.
Okay.
So,
see, I'd imagine that being more maps, because I really don't know how microtransactions
or a new class
work into this.
I could see new classes.
Yeah, maybe a new class. Because if you, there is gear in this game, but I don't know.
But gear is part of the core gameplay, right? You're leveling up, you're getting gear, and that's kind of like, you don't want to throw gear in as microtransactions.
I guess there is a way. There's always a way to work in microtransactions.
Yeah, there is always a way.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Give the warrior beard for 99 cents or something like that.
Bob, I'm still a little confused on the progression in this game. So I get to level 2. But that means I get to level 2 as a player, not as that class, correct?
Yes, you don't. It's not like Killing Floor 2 where you level up your individual classes. It doesn't matter who you play with. You're leveling up your account.
Account, okay. Yes. Now, what do I get at level 2 that I didn't get at level 1?
At level 2, you unlock the Forge, and the Forge is what you use to salvage items, to turn them into gems, or to discard like any items that you don't need, or you can combine 5 of them to make a higher level item.
Items like swords and knives and guns?
Swords, helmets, trinkets. There aren't very many equipment slots. This is not like WoW where you have a bracer, shoulder pads, pants, right, and the whole deal. You have a helmet, you have a ranged weapon, a melee weapon, and then you have, I think, 2 or 3 trinket slots that unlock, I think, starting around level 15.
So no chest, no legs.
Yeah, they don't go overboard with armor, which I like. I hate when they overdo an inventory.
It's kind of weird, though, that they picked one item and that's the head.
Like, yeah, the helmet, I don't know. Probably because it's the most noticeable, you know?
If you had one piece of armor, what would you...
Chest. Right? Death State does that. You get a chest, you get guts, and you get a head, right?
Yeah, yeah. So many guts.
Yeah, so
you
many
can
guts.
Have 3 pairs of lungs in Death State.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
Yeah. It's awesome.
But the combat... The combat.
They're all gross looking.
Yeah, they're all... And you can't even identify... There was one that I was 100% sure before I picked it up. I was like, that's a rectum. For sure, that's a rectum. I picked it up, I don't know, it was like a spleen or something.
Would you recognize a rectum if you saw it, though?
Oh, he's seen a few. All right, what else are we talking about?
Let's see. Well, that's all I got on Vermintide.
So right now it is $29.99 on Steam.
$29.99 is the retail price. It was on sale for $26.99. And I like how they priced it at that range, too. This is not like a full $50, $60 title. Like, that's
how much was Left
4
Dead?
Left 4 Dead was $50 when it came out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And then you can get it on G2A for about $23 right now, something like that.
Yeah, I picked it up on G2A for $19.
I'm definitely going to pick this up.
Yeah.
I think the 3 of us should be playing this together.
Yeah, we still need to hash it out, but I think we might be changing our stream times to evenings, and we might be doing it together next week. So we're going to try that out next week and see how that goes. And then a lot more people can watch because you're not at work when I play.
Yeah.
So we'll probably be streaming this next week.
Yeah. And one more note on Vermintide I want to go out on. Your cousin Nick messaged me on Battle.net. Yeah, the one we refer to as Dick Nick. And he wanted to play some HOTS, and I actually turned him down to continue playing Vermintide. So I think that really speaks to this game.
It did feel colder this week, so maybe hell did freeze over.
Is the first time that he's reached out to play with you?
Well, no, he does every now and then.
Oh, okay.
He's usually on in the mornings, I've noticed. He's got he's on a different schedule than me.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is the first time since Killing Floor 2 that I have chosen to play another game.
Well, good.
I feel bad I always turn him down too, but he gets me at wrong times. Okay. Yeah. So, Chad, go ahead. You haven't talked much.
Oh, so they don't call this the big story, which I'm kind of disappointed at, but I am playing Guild Wars 2 Heart of Thorns. It came out on the 23rd, so I literally have less than a day to have played it, but I was able to play the new class. It's a Revenant class. It kind of fills out their box. They had 3 clothies. They had 3 medium armor wearers, but only 2 heavy armor wearers. So this is the 3rd heavy armor wearer guy.
What's it called?
Revenant. Okay. He like wears a blindfold. It's very similar to a Guild Wars 1 class. The Ritualist.
Was he like a paladin? That's what I'm getting.
No, it would. People were thinking it would be kind of like Shadow Knight.
Oh, okay.
Similar.
Yeah.
But you know how so much of your gameplay is derived from the weapons you wear in Guild Wars? So it's really kind of difficult to explain what exactly the class is. But
they're almost all Jack of all trades.
Yeah.
You can kind of play however you want in that game.
So they can wear a staff as a healing one, and one of their they pull like mists. So they pull like it's Legend of the Dwarf King or something, and then you can have like tankier stuff, or you can pull Legend of an Assassin, and he can be the damage dealer, or the Centaur is the healer.
So kind of like shamans and aspects or something like that.
Yeah. So you can switch these ones, and when you switch them, it actually changes your skill set that you can use. So I think it's the only class that lets you change that mid-combat, which is kind of interesting. But I could be wrong on that. But
so what other gameplay, mechanics, not mechanics, but Is there PvP now?
Changed PvP. We talked last week how they're trying to get into MLG. Mm-hmm. Is it MLG that they're trying to get into?
ESL.
Yeah. So they're trying to get into esports. So they actually are changing their PvP and trying to make it more skill-based as opposed to more like getting items and stuff to change how you are. So they're trying to get more into that. They added a new zone for PvE. They added a bunch more story to go into for PvE.
And raids, right?
They added a 10-person raid. So this is going to be the first time where you can go beyond five people in Guild Wars 2.
10's perfect number, right?
Yeah.
Fuck those old days when you were looking
for 40
was people.
So fun.
In a way.
In a chaos, like you felt part of an army. Yeah. And you never feel that anymore. You never feel part of an army. You always feel part of a group.
For sure.
Well, they have that in World of Warcraft. They have those really large scale PvP modes like Alterac Valley.
And then this has world versus world in Guild Wars 2, which is that same kind of scale. And has a whole bunch. I haven't done any of that, so I'm not one to talk about it. They also added elite classes. So basically, your all nine guys can now get to a new class, sort of. It's not really a new class. So, for example, I'm a ranger right now. My ranger hit 80 this week. He can then now turn into a druid. The problem is, the druid is a healer. You know, like, they didn't give me the option. Like, if you want to play the elite class of a ranger, you're a druid and you're a healer. So that's just...
Can you go back and forth at will?
Yeah, you can. So you can stay a ranger. But, like, if you want to play it, I don't get a choice. Like, my 180, now the elite class is a healer.
Well, it's something that you didn't have before.
Which I thought was interesting because I specifically played ranger because I was like, there's no way I can heal with ranger. It's going to be a straight DPS class. Yeah.
No matter what you do, Chad, you're going to end up being a heal bitch.
So I ended up being a heal bitch if I want to go into, like, five mans and stuff like that, so...
A quick thing on raids. I was just thinking, those 40-man raids. You know, I was the pooler. I was the lead hunter. So
this is WoW you're talking about.
Yeah, WoW. Yeah, and man, there's so much you sense of responsibility when every 40 people are in a 4x4 little corner hiding, and you're the only person looking at all these monsters, and they're all waiting and trusting you that you're only going to bring one. That's your job.
Yeah.
So I would go in advance. I would bring my hunters to dungeons, and we would practice pool schemes.
Because you were the hunter class leader.
Yeah, I was a hunter class leader.
Back then, when you had 40-man raids, you had a class leader for each class, for all.
Yeah, you needed a military-type setup.
Yeah.
You know, like top-down orders and stuff.
Those guilds back then were crazy. You'd have, like, a guild leader, and then you'd have, like, guild officers.
Right.
And then you'd have class leaders. And then you'd have the classes. But, like, you're talking about, like, 100, 150 people.
Yeah.
Because you need that many to make a 40-man roster that was
Anytime
actually viable.
You need to go, yeah.
So, yeah, it's crazy.
Sorry, so I cut you off.
No, that was it. That was
daydreaming
I'm having a blast. If you haven't played Guild Wars 2, the base game is free, like we said last week. They've also changed Guild Wars 2, the leveling up scheme. So I basically started Guild Wars 2 last week. I got a guy to 80 already.
So
like
fast.
They
didn't increase the level cap?
No, they didn't. But they, your elite levels now, you have to earn them, so you don't gain more levels, but you start earning these like elite
levels.
They're called masteries, I believe. So you can continue to play. It's similar to AAs, I think. Similar in EverQuest.
EverQuest, yeah. Cool. So Portal Stories Mel is something that was floating around. I don't know, maybe a month ago.
Sounds
or something.
Sounds like a telltale.
So, yeah, I know, like one of their side shoots. But no, this is some fan-made DLC. And, you know, I haven't played Portal in a while, so I figured I'd give it a shot. And I was super impressed by the polish at this. It might as well have come from Valve. That's how the voice acting, the scale, from what I can gather, it's a parallel story to what's happening in the Portal 2. They don't make any references, but it's pretty much the same kind of setup. But they have all new characters, but it's just in the same factory, basically. But what's that guy's name? The Cave Johnson. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they use him. I don't know if they got the real dude to do it, but I think it might be the same voice actor. and then it switches off, and then you think something. It was really good. I was like, this is some top-notch stuff for absolutely free. So you haven't played Portal for a while, just download this. This is really cool. And then I realized what Portal all was again, and my brain started melting around the fifth question, or the fifth puzzle. So it's really good. I highly recommend it. It's absolutely free. Support indie and modders just by downloading it. The more views they get, the more downloads they get, the better that'll be for bargaining chips when they're doing business in the future. Hmm. Sorry, Chad had to go wipe his ass this time. So
I was getting a new drink.
Oh, okay.
All right. So do we know who actually made this? Do we have any insight?
Don't know.
Okay.
If only we had a producer looking
things
up.
Yeah.
I've heard about this game. I heard good things about it. Yeah. It seems like Valve games attract really quality mods and work like this.
Yeah. And then they allow them and they support them. You know what I mean? Like a lot of companies would be like, no, this is our IP. You can't fuck with it. Like this is what we get.
Yeah. Prism Studios, the developer on that.
Huh.
Don't recognize that, but good for
them. Well, maybe they're trying to get stuff together and this is kind of like their showpiece, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Good for them. I mean, they really knocked it out of the park.
Do we know who Mel is?
No, I don't know who Mel is yet. Oh, no, you know Mel? That's you. That's your main character.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you refer to you as Mel. Okay. You're a guy this time, I think.
Hmm.
All right, can we go back to the show notes?
Mel could be Melanie.
No, it's a dude for sure. You get to see yourself at some point, I think.
Oh, cool. Questions?
The listener question. I'm going to go right into... So, Clown Lotion brought up, are there any overrated games? And then... Right after that.
And he mentioned one.
Yeah, he said Dishonored.
Which I can't agree with.
Yeah, I can't agree
with
that.
Even though I didn't love it, it was not.
You really need to take into account your mental state when you're playing a... Maybe you're having a bad day. You never know. You can go back to the game and maybe love it this time. And then Jens right after said, you know, Dishonored is great. What about underrated games? I just quickly wanted to try to segue, but I stepped all over it. I think that mods are underrated. They don't get the same respect. Why? When a big mod comes out like this, like Mel, that is way beyond an indie game. It gets way less attention than an indie game coming out does. People don't review it. They're not on the front page or even in reviews anywhere. A lot of fan-made and modded content is better than the original, or at least a fantastic.
Yeah, you talked about a couple Skyrims that mods,
especially lately. Yeah. Two of the best of all time just came out recently, and I'm hankering to go back. But Fallout 4 is coming out, so yeah, more love to the mods would be fantastic. There's some amazing stuff out there. What about you guys on underrated?
Are you coming out with a mod or something? Or are you really hyping the mod this week?
No, I'm just saying. You know, it's the one thing that PC games that have that consoles don't.
Yeah.
And it is what PC gaming is. It's you tinkering, you making what you want out of a certain game or changing it the way you want. Man, I can't speak today.
So I actually thought about this. I put some work in, did some research. And so here's my list of overrated games.
Now got a list?
Yeah. Minecraft, which I have tried to play maybe 4 or 5 times and can't get past 30 minutes played. I am bored out of my fucking mind with this game. I cannot stand games that have no structure whatsoever. And Minecraft is the quintessential one in my mind. But I understand that other people love the freedom that a game like this has and build all sorts of amazing stuff. My brain doesn't work that way. I need some sort of direction, some sort of indication. I don't even consider Minecraft a game. Like, it's just a sandbox, and I don't consider sandbox games.
Well, monsters come to eat you at night, right?
Well, if you play, like, the survivor mode.
And what's the deal with these kids always on my lawn?
Yeah. No. I'm not a griefer either, but I understand some gamers are griefers. Like, this is not who I am.
No, dude, it's totally an age thing. And that's what, if you didn't catch my joke earlier, let me explain it, because that's what you do when you make a good joke. I was saying Chad's old complaining about kids on his lawn because he doesn't like Minecraft. Dude, it is such an age-restricted thing. Dude, kids love Minecraft. And that's, if you are like, well, I don't know, how long has it been out now? If you're like 25 plus, you just do not get Minecraft.
Well, I have people, I have friends our age that like Minecraft.
Did you not like Legos?
No, I love Legos.
It's Legos. So why do you? How can you hate Legos?
Maybe Bobby's right. Maybe I'm too old now for this. I don't know. All right, next one is Halo. And I acknowledge Halo was a good game.
No, it's not. I totally disagree. I mean, I agree with you completely. Okay. Yeah.
I think this was the first time console gamers got to get a really good first-person shooter, and so they loved it. But us that came from a PC market, we're like, no, we've all this stuff that you had, you got with Halo, we've already got. Sure. That's how I feel about it, by the way. That's how I feel about
Android. We're taking a high road on this one.
This is what I feel as an Android user when all my friends talk about iPhones. You're like, yeah, we had that 2 years ago. But anyways, I digress. Next one, Destiny. I thought Destiny was a fun game to play. I hated how they handled the loot structure when they first came out. And since that game was all about loot, I ended up hating that game because...
I think it's all squared away now, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the new expansion, I have a ton of people playing that at work, and they are all loving it. I haven't had a chance to go back, but...
If you're on a console right now, I think that's what you're playing.
Yeah.
Especially if you're, like, an adult. Everybody's talking about that game.
And my last one on my overrated is Angry Birds. I cannot stand that game. I don't understand how that game is even popular. I don't understand that game at all. Like, what? Why? Where's the fun? I haven't seen a second of fun in that game.
It's fun.
What? What's fun? You shoot a little thing and
fun?
And it blows up.
I liked Angry Birds.
Yeah.
I played a lot of Angry Birds. It's a great mobile game.
Okay. Yeah, it's casual. I don't know. It has colors and fun little sounds.
I don't.
You can lose, unfortunately.
I mean, I played the first Angry Birds, and that was it. I didn't do like Angry Birds in Space, Star Wars Angry Birds, like what other concoctions they had of that game. But I didn't overdo it like a lot of people. But yeah, I enjoyed the first one.
Who knew that this was a segment Chad was waiting for all his life? Jesus Christ, the passion.
That's my overrated ones. I've got underrated now too.
Okay,
so it's a shorter list though. So the first one is Spec Ops. It got a 76 overall on Metacritic. All three of us really liked that game.
You didn't like it. You said, it wasn't for me. I don't know what you guys are talking about. That was your review.
No, I liked that game.
Okay.
You're on crack.
Go back and listen to your review on that game. I don't know what you guys were talking about.
Spec Ops, it was a fun game. Short. I enjoyed the character progression. It was a very interesting game. I really liked it. I really, really liked it. Next one, Kingdoms of Amalur. And I think there was so much outside of the game that caused all sorts of problems for that game. But the core game, I thought, was a fun game.
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Kingdoms of what?
Kingdoms of Amalur.
Mm-mm.
That was the one that Kurt Schilling did. Oh, they were going to do an MMO.
It was an MMO. You played it?
It wasn't an MMO.
Oh, I thought it was.
This was like the proof of concept.
Right.
It was just an RPG.
Uh-huh.
Single player RPG. They
Did
were
you
gonna
play
be, yeah. Oh, okay. I liked it a lot.
Someone made like a YouTube documentary on that whole story about Kurt Schilling and his studio that was going to make that game. It's a really interesting story.
Yeah. And then the last one, I had to throw it on here because we're all fans of it. But Call of Juarez Gunslinger. It's got a 79 Metacritic. I think all of us think it's better than a 79.
Mm-hmm. Everybody that's played it that messaged me about it. Because of our ongoing recommendation about this game, they all love it. Like, oh, this game is great. Yeah. So, that's a very good one, Chad. That's maybe all you should have said.
All seven of those games that I just said were spot on, especially the Angry Birds.
Good
I
job.
Still don't get it.
Good job for looking that up on somebody else's list. Okay, go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, fuck you.
All right, I did not put that much effort into this. I'm just going to come up with stuff on the spot. Overrated, I think we all know the answer to that. I mean, come on, Tomb Raider. It's obviously a little overrated. Look, it's not a terrible game.
You're right. It's a very, very, very
It's a highly good celebrated game. Exercise in mediocrity is what it
Whoa.
Is.
Whoa.
It is.
You saved that one for that?
My biggest problem with that game is the story. And that it's like a U-Bowl movie. that someone turned into a video game. It's like Yuval makes terrible movies about video games. It's like someone took his movie and made it into a video game. We could go into detail on this, but why? Underrated game.
It's Tomb Raider, though. It's supposed to be that way. Okay, never mind. All right. I'll let you.
All right. So, underrated game. Little game that I like to play every now and then. Go Home Dinosaurs.
What the fuck? He just brought it up last week.
It's a great game. You have to protect your barbecue with steaks from dinosaurs.
We just went over this last week.
But I obviously this is an underrated game because you and I haven't played it.
Go home, Bobby. Fuck, I'm done tired of hearing about this game.
No, tell us about this game. I want to.
It's so funny.
I want to hear it again. Oh, okay. Bobby, tell us the.
Well, you have a barbecue and you're grilling some steaks.
Out back, right?
Yeah, and your beavers, by the way.
Go Home Dinosaurs.
Go Home Dinosaurs.
How could you miss it?
That's the name of this game. You're a bunch of beavers, and you're trying to have a barbecue. You got some steaks on the grill.
Oh, you're beavers. I thought you were human. Okay.
Oh, no, you're gophers. I'm sorry, gophers.
This is game. Every single word out of your mouth makes it better.
And
$9.99 right now. Okay.
Yeah, you can get it for cheaper.
Okay.
Yeah, and you can dig around, and you can set up turrets, and it's a tower defense game where the dinosaurs are trying to crash your barbecue, and you're telling them to go home by shooting them with coconuts. And yeah, there's crafting.
Nothing that you're saying makes any sense.
I love tower defense games, though. It looks cool. I like the art too.
Yeah, you guys think I'm joking here? This is Go Home Dinosaurs is not a joke.
Okay.
How much time do you have on it? Do you think?
Oh, I don't know.
Play it mobile though, right?
No, I don't think this game is on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
we need Team Tom.
I'm going to play this.
We need Team Tom to review.
Team Tom will back me up on this
because we're going to be the only people reviewing this or giving it a shout out. So,
should we do a whole dinosaurs episode?
We might have to. If I play this game and it's good, I might quit playing video games because there's no way this sort of idea could actually work.
Well, it's funny because usually when you're playing tower defense, the minions are really small. And the towers are big.
The
dinosaurs are huge. Yeah. That's going to take a lot of coconuts. Them out.
No, there's small dinosaurs that run really fast. There's large dinosaurs that are harder to kill but move slower. Yeah. It's got a lot to it. There's a lot of depth in this game.
Cool.
What? It got a very positive with a whopping 256 reviews.
Yep.
How can I follow this up? Okay, so I already did my underrated mods in general.
Okay.
And then overrated is Super Meat Boy. I think somebody just made a really hard game, super hard game, and called it good.
What do they have a genre for those like near impossible games? Like
I don't think so. There's not a label. There might be, but I don't know the label.
There used to be this web game called like the hardest game ever.
Yeah.
Do you remember those?
Yeah.
Where, like, it's nearly impossible to beat the game.
Hard doesn't mean good for me.
It's true.
Generating frustration is... I mean, I'm glad it's out there for people that are very agile and can play games really well. So, but it doesn't mean it should get critical acclaim. And so our other...
Thanks
for the questions, guys.
Yeah.
So, should we just roll straight into news here?
No, I want to talk about this.
Okay, we're going to do the hardware question?
Yeah, yeah. All right. We can be quick. Bobby, it's up to you. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So someone asked, they gave some specs on a PC, asked if this was a good gaming computer and good for making YouTube videos. And, you know, I get that question a lot. A lot of people that are either starting to get into PC gaming maybe they had a computer and they kind of started playing some games on it. And then they decided, you know, I really want to start playing some more higher end games and I want a computer that can handle that. So let's take a look at the specs we got here. An Intel Core i5 4460 for the CPU. The Core i5 is a great processor. It's a great budget processor. A lot of value in that for the money.
So you can be playing almost every game with that?
Yeah. And, you know, I noticed a lot of... it really comes down to the graphics card. Spend the money on the graphics card. Get an i5 if you're on a budget. If you got the money, get an i7.
Okay, so i5 for budget, i7 if you're spending the money.
Yeah.
Okay.
Motherboard is an Asus 1150 H81MR. The H, I think those are the motherboards that don't have onboard graphics, which if you're getting a discrete graphics card, you don't need. The motherboard, I actually was working on a video. I don't know when it's going to come out, but it's a whole tour of my computer. And I talk a lot about hardware.
I've watched that actually.
It's a good video. I got all the footage. I just need to do the narration. But I think people spend too much money on motherboards. When I first started building computers, I would just get whatever the most expensive motherboard is or was. And you're paying for the features. Are you going to do SLI, multiple graphics cards? Are you going to use Bluetooth? If you're not, you could save yourself lots of money by getting a motherboard that doesn't have that. Essentially, a lot of these motherboards have the same exact chipset. And that's fine. Like I spent $120 on my motherboard, which is kind of on the lower end on a gaming computer, and it works perfectly fine for me.
So is brand important? Asus, do they make decent motherboards?
Yeah, Asus makes great motherboards. I've had plenty of motherboards, and I've noticed I don't overclock anymore just because I hang on to my hardware for a lot longer. Whenever I have overclocked, I let my computer run all the time. Like, it's always doing something. So whenever I overclock, the damage does not go to the processor or to the RAM. It always seems to be on the motherboard with like the USB ports and its weird little issues like that. My last motherboard was an Asus. I like them. Right now I have an MSI. I've used motherboards from like every single vendor out there or every single manufacturer, and I cannot say that one is better than the
other.
They're
pretty much all the same,
yeah,
right?
I've really liked...
Like you said, they're the same chipset.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all practically the same stuff.
So basically, if you're looking for economy, get the most basic one that has all the things that you want, right?
Yeah.
Is that basically...
Yeah, a PCI Express 16X slot.
Don't get SLI unless you're going to SLI. Don't get Bluetooth unless you're going to Bluetooth.
Yeah, yeah.
And why would you get one with onboard graphics?
Yeah.
If you're going to run it, yeah.
If you're making a gaming rig, you're not getting onboard graphics. Yeah.
I mean, sometimes I use my onboard graphics for my secondary monitor, so sometimes it could be helpful that way. Mm. Or...
fancy pants.
Yeah.
What else we got? GPU, a GTX 960, also optionally a 970. I would definitely recommend going for the 970. The 970 is, at least for NVIDIA, the best card you can get when it comes to
value.
Bang
for your buck.
Yeah. The 970s are great. I think comparable to that on AMD's side is a 390. You can get those for about the same price, I think, and those are really good cards, too. But it, you know, if you're used to the NVIDIA ecosystem, then yeah, the 970 is where it's at. Both of you guys.
Pixels 3 pennies. I like it. I like it.
But both of you guys have 970s, right?
Yeah, correct.
Yeah.
And low.
I couldn't be more happy.
And I have a 980 Ti, which is better.
Whoa! That was aggressive and unnecessary.
I like it, Bobby. I like it. All right, man.
So memory. DDR3, 8 gigs at 1600 megahertz. You don't need a whole lot of memory for gaming.
Really?
8 gigs, I would say, is the minimum these days. If you're buying any computer for any purpose, get at least 8 gigs. Recommend 16. And the speed doesn't really matter all that much either. 1600 megahertz is pretty...
That's standard, right?
Yeah, that's basically what you get with a lot of memory sticks. But yeah, 8 gigs is decent. Hard drive, 1 terabyte Toshiba, get a solid state, dude. I don't know how people are not using solid states these days.
But, I mean, if you're on a budget, is this where you spend the extra money? Because if we're talking budget, then as a gamer, I would say get the 970 as your first priority.
I mean, you can do that, but it makes such a difference, not only in gaming, but just in general
it
computer
does.
Use.
God, it's so nice having that solid state.
And you can get a 500 gig for $150, $180, or you could get a 1 terabyte hard drive spinning disk for, what's a 1 terabyte, 90? It'll cost you maybe twice as much to get half as much, but it is so worth it in speed.
My computer boots up in less than 10 seconds.
Oh, is that what it's like when they're not refurbished?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. When you got a good solid state.
I'm just saying, I didn't get very many pixels for my pennies.
Yeah, you didn't.
You got the other one sitting here. You just got to install Windows on it.
I'm waiting for Bob.
DVD, that's fine.
Yeah, the DVD.
Case, that's fine, right?
Yeah, the case.
Is there anything... The case is just to hold shit. Like, is there any actual concerns when you buy a case?
Look for fan placement, really. First of all, make sure that it can fit your motherboard. Most cases will be able to do that. Do you have a micro ATX, a mini ITX? Like, what kind of motherboard do you have? Is it going to be big enough? Most of the time, yes. And look for fan placement. Does it have intake, exhaust? I like having a lot of fans, but cooling is going to be important. The thing I would add to this, the processor, 600 watt processor, do not go cheap on a processor, not processor,
power supply.
Do not go cheap on a power supply. I tell everybody that, do not get a budget power supply.
So what is a good power supply? If you're saying, Is there a brands that you prefer, or is there a certain wattage that you like to have?
Well, the wattage depends on how much you're going to put in there. 600 watt is really good for most gaming machines. I really like Corsair. There's some other really good brands out there. Can't think of them right now, but Corsair I've been using for a long time now. And they have great power supplies. Also, get a modular one. Modular means that you can disconnect the cables you're not using.
Ooh, that's nice. Instead of hanging down in there.
Yeah.
Oh, has she not bought this yet?
No, she was asking this morning about them. Cool. So I told her
that for $737.
Yeah, that's a great deal. Under you can build a great machine for under $1,000.
So it looks like she's going kind of mid range. This isn't the cheapest.
PC. Yeah, I would say this is upper mid range, right?
Yeah.
Or just
well, if you're talking about getting a 970,
it's a gaming computer, so those are always kind of on the higher end of things. Right. But the one thing I would add to this list: get some thermal paint and some extra case fans. Thermal paste is what you use to put on your processor and the heatsink. Maybe even get a
usually an aftermarket comes with cooler. With that, right? But you don't the stuff that you get with it?
The stock cooler comes with like a little bit on there, but it's usually not enough and it's not very good. Get some Arctic Thermal or Arctic Silver 5 is some really good thermal paste, and that will lower your CPU temps significantly. And then also get some case fans.
You know, and just on my side of the hardware expertise, USB slots. You need lots and lots of them.
Like, Mills always switches.
So many. I have probably like...
You know you can buy like...
an adapter?
Is that cool to have?
A USB hub?
Yeah,
you can use a USB hub.
Okay. That's what you should invest $12 in.
Yeah, for sure.
You're on Amazon Prime. Oh. Go get a USB hub.
So nobody ever has to buy USBs. Flash drives, right? They're just always laying around. That's how it's always been. There's always been flash drive here because you get them for free at the convention this year. So we needed one the other day. So
we used like a Tron one from some convention.
Yeah, convention. We used it for years, but it turned out it wasn't big enough. So I actually had to buy one. Who cares why, but I went and looked. I was like, oh, what are USB flash drives going for these days? So I got a 32 gig titanium. It's made out of titanium, USB 3.0 for $1,199.
It's so crazy. It is crazy. One more question on that. Oh, damn it. I forgot. Never mind. All right. We're moving on.
All right. So
at the time, the video.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit more news here.
Yeah. There's just a couple quick news articles left.
Yeah, some things we didn't get to last week.
Go back to the... Yeah, there we go. So Valve basically last week admitted that their customer support is awful. They're looking into it. They've tried third-party options. They haven't found any that they like. So they're just basically going to say, fuck it, we're going to do it ourselves. But we got to put the tools in to do it. We got to put the manpower in to do it. This is still 6 months to a year out. Have you guys had to deal with Valve customer support at all?
No.
Very rarely.
Okay.
There were games that I was trying to get taken off my account because of issues with games for Windows Live, and I couldn't play them anyway. So I was just trying to get them removed. But in my experience dealing with Valve customer support, I get a response maybe 4 or 5 days later, and it's, you know, never the one that I want. It's like basically nicely telling me, sorry, we can't help you.
Yeah.
But that's been my little experience.
And
with
that's
them.
They basically admitted that the third party support that they were working was basically trying to get you off as quickly as possible, and that wasn't acceptable to them. Mm-hmm. So I think it's
kind of like your mom trying to get me off as quickly as possible.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a stretch, but it was
your mom joke.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. Basically, Valve is basically Valve, you know, because Valve is a quality developer, quality publisher and all. They want to be better, but it's going to take time. And I kind of fault them because Steam is a huge product. They should have been thinking about customer service right from the very beginning.
Right.
But at least they're thinking about it now. I'm sure listeners have had issues with Valve customer service, so... It's good that they're thinking about it, and this is important for them.
Their systems work so well that I don't think that many issues come up. But you have 8 million people. Issues are going to come up.
I know, but they recently started the refund system and all that stuff. Like, I'm glad they started the refund system, but their customer service needs to be on par if they're going to do something like that.
Yep. That was irresponsible.
All right. What's the next one? You want to click on the next one there? Perfect.
We're not going to keep her over, you guys.
I think she's doing well. Navi, Dota 2 squad, officially disbanded. This was also last week. I think this is important because Navi is one of those ones that basically were there near the beginning of Dota 2. Mm-hmm. They won, I think, 2 years that they won.
Well, they were heavily featured in the free-to-play documentary, Dendi, big player on that team. And yeah, they've not been performing in the last international. They did horribly.
Yeah.
That's interesting because, you know, the Chargers, the San Diego Chargers, are never going to disband. They'll move or something, but teams don't go away, do they?
Well, this is esports is not similar to U.S. sports, but it is more similar to European sports and others like that. I don't know if you know this, but for like for English soccer, you know, they're all just club teams, and so they have to like promote up through the ranks, and every year you can actually D-level, so to speak. You can go down to the lower class. If you're on the bottom three, you actually go down to the lower class, and then three from the lower league actually go up. So it's similar to esports, where you've got a bunch of teams all fighting for that like top rank. Mm-hmm. So you can't really compare it to U.S. sports.
Does Navi have teams in Counter-Strike, League of Legends, other esports?
I believe so. I don't think the actual Navi is going away, but their Dota 2 is disbanding. Mm-hmm. And they might get back in it. And obviously, they've got some top-level players. So those top-level players, if they're still interested in playing, are probably going to switch teams and do it. But it's just kind of an end of an era, so to speak, for Dota 2.
So, at least for that team.
And then that last one, Western Digital buys SanDisk disc for $16 billion, I believe it is, something like that. Mm-hmm. Bobby, you're the hardware expert. Any thoughts on this?
Not really. This stuff happens all the time. You know, bigger companies buy littler companies. And I don't know if that really means anything for us, the consumer.
I think it might. I think, they try to keep secrets from each other all the time, mm-hmm. these corporations. And now the secrets are going to be merged. Maybe, if we're lucky, something cool will come out of this. It could only be better, right?
Well, there's a potential good side and a potential bad side. The good side is economies of scale. There's two medium-range-sized companies. They combine together. Now you've got a big-scale company. They can make, instead of trying to do 1,000 products for $100, they can now make $10,000 products for $90. You know, you can get economies of scale. The bad side is it lowers the competition. Mm-hmm. And if, similar to lots of other things, if you're not competitive, you're not inventive, you're not diversifying, you're not thinking of new ways to be creative. So we'll see how this plays out. But
I love how we asked Bobby what he thought about this and then shat all over him starting to say, hey, what do you think? So what I think.
He said no. He said nothing. Yeah. He said he didn't have much.
Well, I see things like that all the time, and then I just never really notice a difference down the line. I don't have much insight onto how the business end works of these things.
Did you, little unrelated note, did you see that Budweiser's trying to buy Miller?
No.
We're going to have like a super beer company in America now?
Both top five, right?
Yeah.
Cool. And so, listen to the interview that's going to be at the end of this, right after this. And then, our stream, I think next week we're going to try evenings. So we'll announce that maybe on the Steam group. And I don't know what the new schedule is, but we're going to try out the next week. Today, it's going to be too late when you hear, but on Saturdays, we're probably going to be all streaming together and do giveaways on Saturday. So we're going to do that right after this, I think. And you guys got anything else?
No. If you're going to be on the stream one day, do Saturdays, because that will be when we likely do giveaways, right?
Right. Yep.
And you generally stream on Saturdays from 10:30 until whenever?
Yeah, on Saturdays I think it's going to stay the same, probably 10 to something.
Okay.
And then we'll...
Bobby, tell them where to get to the stream and everything else.
Yeah, dlgaming.net is the website. You can get to all our content there, YouTube, Twitter, our Steam group, and our stream on Twitch.
And if you have anything, any personal question or anything, you can just email me, Emilio@dlgaming.net. And speaking for Bobby, Chad, Emilio and Sammy. Titties. All right, welcome back to another DL Gaming interview. Here we have Peter from Working Man. How's it going, Peter?
Great, man. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely.
I thought it was pretty cool how we this all came about. It was so organic. one of your guys was just watching my stream, and then he was answering, you know, people's questions about the game. And yeah. I look over, and I kind of noticed him, like, oh, why are they asking him questions and not me? I was like, I'm the attention whore here, right? So I was like, we're all here for me. What's going on? And then I put it together. And then I put it together and I go, oh, boy, I hope I haven't been talking shit for the last 2 minutes about this game.
And that's just kind of how it's been going about, you know, post-launch. Like, we don't have a dedicated, you know, marketing team or whatever. We have we just have like a bunch of people that are passionate about the game, and anytime that we see a stream is popping up, we're like, oh my god, everybody check it out. So everybody flocks to the channel. Right. And you know, there's, and even just me personally, there's only so much that myself or Matt Leffler, who's the dev on the project, there's only so much that, you know, the two of us can really be catching in our radar. So everybody's been really great about, you know, guys, did you see this, or it's going live on you know, this, or somebody did this mention. So it's been, that's been really helpful. You know, just everybody's kind of got eyes out, and it's a fun high alert time.
Yeah, for sure. We're the same way. Like, anytime we get a mention or, you know, a retweet by somebody big, we're like, oh yeah, check that out. Or like, we call each other right away with that. So yeah, it's really cool. yeah, for sure. We all got to support each other, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's funny that this game started off as a game jam, right?
Yeah.
So it was like an inter-office game jam?
Yeah, what we did, and just like a little bit of context behind what Working Man is. So for Working Man, I might be getting some of the dates wrong, but I think we're about 7 years old now, and we're primarily, predominantly a service-based game development studio. And so we do a lot of... you know, for hire work for like Nickelodeon and Disney, and it's a lot of web games, mobile games, this and that. And you know, that's going great. That's essentially our bread and butter. And every now and then, you know, we have a bit of spare time, and we'll put together some, you know, some demos or like an in-house IP something. And really, it was, I think it was in 2013 when it was a really weird situation where I think we had about like 10 or 12 people free at the same time, and you know, we said to ourselves, like, what are we going to do for the next 2 weeks? Let's pair people off and do some game demos, or just turn it into a little bit of a jam. So it gave everybody something, you know, a chance to kind of put some cool concepts together. We had about, I want to say, like 5 or 6 games come out of there, and Death State was just one that Matt Leffler and I worked on. And you know, everything that came out of there was cool, but it was the thing too where after that jam sort of resolved, we kept just, you know, anytime he or I would have a little bit of spare time, we kept saying, you know, what about this, you know, Death State thing? And I think even at that point we had, we were originally calling it Motherload, but we decided to change the name just because there's, I think there's another game out called Super Motherload that we caught wind of partway through. But so we just kept going. Anytime we had, you know, a free afternoon or a couple hours in between there, or, you know, a few days, I would work on some sprites or some environment art, and, you know, and Matt did a lot of work. It was originally an HTML5 engine game because we were thinking it might be something that we would do for web or mobile. But
right. Are there plans to make it web or mobile, eventually?
It's a kind of thing where it's funny how we started there, but then just as we got further into it, and I think one of the main things that we wanted to do was, or the one things that we started getting excited by were the different kind of, you know, effects and shaders that we could apply in Unity, since it's a Unity based game.
Mm-hmm.
Just as far as, you know, the scan lines or like color shifting or just doing, there's a lot that we can do without necessarily a performance ceiling on PC, given the kind of thing that we're trying to do, that if we were to do a mobile version, we would have to re-envision a lot of that stuff, just because
right. Gotcha.
A lot of those effects have become kind of, you know, core game feedback in a lot of ways.
And for those who haven't seen it yet, can you quickly describe what you think or what Death State is to you, or how you describe it?
Yeah, so I guess, you know, our little elevator pitch is Death State. It's a roguelike bullet hell single stick shooter, you know, and it's probably in those terms, it's maybe like a little bullet hell light and, you know, rogue light, depending on how people want
right.
to, you know, split hairs. But it's you're a character who is, you know, traveling through these like weird interdimensional sort of planes or hellscapes and such, and you're getting attacked by skeletons and mushroom people, sorcerers and stuff, and you're going through portals just trying to solve a little bit of a mystery, but it's mostly just kind of the gameplay of, you know, getting loot, exploring like procedural environments, trying not to get hit by enemy spells and bullets, and
yes.
definitely the kind of like the retro pixel art plus the, you know, the contemporary engine shaders are the two defining visuals, I guess.
For sure. I really like the art style is very cool.
Thank you.
The game is fun. You know, it's funny, when I didn't even announce that I was streaming that game. So there's only a few people watching, but, because I was downloading Vermintide. I was going to play that.
Yeah. And then I'm excited for that too.
Yeah. And I got so into this game. That I just kept playing, you know. It's got that just one more time, just one more time. And I was telling people on the stream, I'm like, this is the one, guys. Don't worry, this is the one. I'm gonna beat it.
Yeah. That's like happened in the office too, where, you know, like we're trying to test or something. You're like, all right, I'm gonna wrap this up in a minute, and it's like, there's another 20 minutes gone.
So the one stick shooter thing, that's new to me. I've never seen that before. Is that because it was originally maybe thinking about mobile?
It was probably originally from the mobile side. You know, we're trying to optimize, you know, we don't want too many control inputs or fingers on the screen.
Right.
But, and you know, we talked about Twin Stick a lot, you know, back and forth. You know, it's like we started this in 2013, and we've been working on it off and on since then. But it came up a lot. It came up, you know, back and forth a bunch of times where, you know, and it's the kind of thing everybody is comparing it to Isaac and that sort of thing,
right?
As far as, you know, gameplay, but
a lot of, know, similarities there for sure.
It's like, and Isaac is an awesome game and we love it, but we have, I think, where we decided to try and differentiate ourselves is the single stick aspect, where you know, moving and shooting. I don't know if the right way to phrase it. It's kind of like a left brain, right brain thing, where it's you know, and maybe it's just, I feel like there's a little bit more of a barrier of entry to that style of gameplay. And it's the kind of thing where, like, everybody, you know, is accustomed to the twin stick and they hear single stick and they're like, whoa, what's that? But if you get into a situation in gameplay where, you know, you can really just focus on positioning and mobility and dodging, that's the core element of Death State. And also too, you know, wherever your position determines who you can fire on. So,
Who's Gray Fox? Is that Matt?
Oh, that's Devin. He's one of the devs.
Oh, okay. So, I was telling Devin that because I only need to focus on dodging, I am so incredibly mad at myself when I get hit. Like, I don't think there's another game where I get more pissed off where I get hit. So I think that was a compliment, but,
because I get your drift. I think it's, you know, it should be the kind of thing where, And that's the thing too. It's like we've been getting a lot of feedback from people where people are saying, "Oh my god, this game is so difficult." And then we have some people that are saying, "You know, this game isn't hard enough. I beat it in, you know, 30 minutes." And, you know, to those people, we're saying, you know, break some desecration altars and go into hard mode a little bit.
Yeah, I just realized that. I was like, you know, because I beat the game. First of all, are there any levels beyond the initial four? Is it like Isaac, where you unlock more and more stuff, or is it just the desecration altars? Because I haven't broken any of those yet.
So right now there is, I guess we're getting into a little bit of like secrets territory, but I won't.
Might be a little something.
Yeah, there's a hidden world right now, which is, but also to just to kind of briefly talk about, you know, where we were with production on this is, the original scope of Death State had, I think, six worlds planned, and we have a bunch of the content completed for those.
Okay.
Some of that you see a little bit if you find the, I think we're calling it the Dark Realm in game.
Okay.
But we are, it's kind of determined, or it's kind of hinging on, you know, how well the game does, or we do want to keep supporting it with additional content. And as long as we do get to reach one of these initial content add-ons, the first things that we're going to add are the worlds. Gotcha. That we get to add in the first place. But I think as far as gameplay duration and say how long a run will last, we got kind of comfortable with the four worlds, and then that's kind of your run. So what players can expect to see if we get to add some additional worlds is you won't be, you know, having to go through five or six, but the four worlds that you do pass through, we might be able to shuffle the order, or you might get some additional surprises in there. Not necessarily always going to World 1 first or Fortress of Koth.
Gotcha.
Kind of stuff. So,
and I think a lot of the replayability comes from the characters. I really like your character design. I thought there were some smart decisions in there. I thought the Brawler, I think his name is that?
Yeah.
What a great little mechanic he has. You know, the downside is pretty cool on him, where you have to keep moving because he's so, well, I imagine because he's so aggressive, right? So,
yeah, it's kind of funny how he turned out. I like how he looks like kind of charming in a way when he's just like bumping against a wall.
And I was like, you know what? This guy's pretty good. The downside isn't too bad. And then I got in a tight corridor where you could barely even, you're literally just bouncing off walls.
Yeah, we might have a little bit of tweaks in there. And again, like I said, you know, anybody that's playing it has been giving us a lot of great feedback and just input notes, and you know, we're taking note of all of it, and we're going to kind of see what we can do next with it. So
cool. So that was the only criticism really that I've seen is the length of the game, and then the filter, the filter in front of the game at first was really distracting, and it's kind of like very weird, you know. But then I was trying to justify it, and I kind of did, where, you know, you're in these other dimensions. It's supposed to be weird. It's supposed to look off. It's not supposed to be normal.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what you were going for. And then I also noticed that you used the filter a few times, for kind of effects. Like, probably my least favorite, but most inventive bad guy is that little kind of like spaghetti monster looking dude. And when you get close to him, the whole screen gets like staticky.
Yeah. I think he's, if you were to open up, say, like your D&D monster manual, I think he's inspired by a gibbering mouther.
Okay.
But he does some weird things. You should hang out with him some.
So the filter, do you think there's going to be an option to take it off, or are you going to keep it? Because after initially it's very distracting, but after, you know, 20, 30 minutes, then I didn't even see it really anymore. So
yeah, it's the kind of thing where I know we've been seeing people, you know, react to it, and we've had, you know, people that have concerns about motion sickness and things, mm-hmm. or a little bit of eye strain. We want to find something. If we are going to do anything, we want to be able to do something that still doesn't lose the impact that, those visuals have on just on the gameplay feedback, because, you know, it's like something important happens when, say, you get hit by an enemy and the screen tweaks for a minute and it turns to static.
Right.
It's like that. Like that to me is important to have in there, because it's giving you that, you know, you see and you hear what we have, and, you know, short of having like rumble on the controller, you know, like, okay, cool, like something just happened to my character.
Yeah. It's definitely an integral part of the game. I couldn't see just taking it off. You'd be missing too much.
Yeah,
it's just one of those things you're gonna have to get used to, I think.
If anything, I know I've been talking to Matt Leffler about, you know, potentially making some things a little more subtle, or, you know, there's a handful of layers involved in the effects, and we might be able to, it's the kind of thing where we might be able to have a toggle on, you know, one out of five, but not the whole shebang, if you catch mm-hmm. my drift. So
we're
still figuring out like how to approach that without, you know, just making it look like a vanilla game. So
yeah, I was kind of thinking as I was playing, maybe you would apply a different filter during different effects. Like if certain bad guys around, you get a certain, maybe some are even more distracting than the regular one, you know, just really intense ones. And then maybe when you're powered up, maybe you could have a different, you know, you would look more powerful with this filter or whatever.
Yeah. And I think we have, and that's the kind of thing I like that, philosophy behind it. Even just certain things like when you're losing hit points gradually over time, the screen loses a little bit of saturation and starts to get a little more washed out.
Right.
So, you know, those kind of things are, I think that's something that I enjoy, and I think we've enjoyed in including that in the game. But it's also the kind of thing where we're very familiar with it, and we've been working on it for, you know, as long as we have. So people's first reactions, they matter. So
for sure.
Yeah.
But it seems to be doing well on the reviews. They're very positive so far. So
yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think you guys are going to do pretty well. And congratulations on doing a really good game.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate you finding it by happenstance, and you know, wish you some many good runs in the future.
Yeah, it was awesome that I actually got to beat the game for the first time while I was streaming.
Yeah, so
that was pretty cool.
That's cool.
Is there anything that you want to? Where can people contact you, or maybe your guys' Twitter?
Oh yeah, I mean, just if anybody wants to find out more about the game, let me just double check before I give the wrong. Yeah, it's deathstategame.com. We're on Steam for Mac and PC. You can search Death State, and we show up right in the catalog there. We've been trying to be pretty active on our Facebook and Twitter, too. I think our Twitter is just twitter.com/deathstategame. So, yeah, just come cool. Say hello. People talk about it. You know, if anybody wants to do some fan art, we love that kind of stuff, too. We have a little bit happening in the office right now. So
cool. Awesome, Peter. Thanks for the interview, and good luck.
Yeah, thank you guys. You're welcome. I really appreciate the opportunity. And yeah, thanks for finding us.